Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. You can go to our website, and you can listen to our programs here for free and download them. And also, we make available on our website some excellent study tools. We have the Companion Bible. You've got to have a Companion Bible. If you don't have one, get a copy of one. You can get it from us, or you can get it from... Well, I get it from other places. I think I got it. I probably have one of the cheapest editions of it, but we don't make money off these things. We just want to make sure that you have good study tools. Also, we have the Companion Bible Appendices. We also have the Concordant Literal New Testament. Well, today we're going to talk about a topic that's very important, and the topic is God. We're going to talk today about God and truth. Now, the reason why I bring up this topic, I remember reading, and I've read a lot of the very extreme Calvinistic ceremonial writers who always, they never say God, it's always God. You know, they try to have their language with a holy tone, and when I think of them, I think of church steeples and robes and all that other pagan stuff that has been included in so-called Christian worship. But I remember reading an article by a thing by Charles Spurgeon. I have all the works of Spurgeon here, but I remember him saying something. He was talking about how he wished he could impress upon the people's minds, if they can go back before creation, before, in his, I forgot the language he used, but before time, as it were, and imagine God alone in his solitary glory, as, and only then can we get a true conception of who God is. And let me just say, that's the biggest load of nonsense and pious talk you can possibly come up with. God did not does not expect us to surmise from imagination who and what he is. And this is why we're going to talk a little bit about God here. Now, a study of God in the theological sense must be taken up in at least four lines. And none of this is philosophy, by the way. Number one, God absolutely. Number two, God relatively. Number three, God manifest. And number four, God manifest in the flesh. Now, I won't repeat that, but you can go back and listen to this. Now, here's the thing. We know nothing of God absolute. Now, no matter what a Calvinist tries to do, or men like Spurgeon tried to do, to try to get us a conception of God before creation is almost insane, because you have to make stuff up. We don't know anything about God absolute. In the Scriptures, there is no such thing as a philosophy of God. There is not one statement that speaks of God alone without relation to his creatures. Do you hear that? There's no statement in all the Word of God that does not that speaks of God alone without a relation to his creatures. The whole revelation of God is limited. It is limited to encompass the purpose of the ages. Beyond that, we have no revelation of him at all. So we can only know God, well, we can never know God absolutely. We can only know him in relationship to his creatures and in his purposes for the ages. Now, we have explained the second, that is, God relatively, by mentioning the first, that's God absolutely. Even when it is revealed that God is spirit, it is followed by the relative statement, they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. To reveal himself in any way to a creature, God as the absolute must limit himself. Man, as well as other creatures, they do not know or have any sense of anything in the absolute sense. He must know only relatively. Then God must reveal himself relatively. In the Old Testament, he appeared in several forms, such as man, angel, as son of man, and other titles you may find. In the New Testament, God is revealed to man as the Son. As such, he voluntarily limited himself, even to the extent that he chose not to know some things. For an example, he chose not to know when he was coming again, yet he has the power of omniscience. How limited do you think he is now, seated in his Father's throne, higher than all government and powers, and head over all things of the church? I mean, how limited is he now compared to how he was on earth? Yet God appeared to man in the form of a servant. Now, that is hard to realize. Form here is not so much shape or appearance, it is the character or position. It is not a change of substance. Now, we need to exclaim with Thomas, "My Lord and my God," and we're not going to apologize. for saying that. Now remember, there are four ways to take up this study. God absolutely, and we learn that we can never know God absolutely. We can never know God apart from a revelation of himself in relation to his creatures or his purpose of the ages. And then number two, we had to study God relatively, and we just talked about that. Number three, we see God manifest. And number four, we see God manifest in the flesh. Let's make sure that when we talk about God and Christ, that we do not use high-sounding language borrowed from philosophers who put their philosophies in doctrinal statements. We want to get a concept of God is in revelation. And one thing Bullinger said, and this is a great comment, and I want to quote this to you. E.W. Bullinger, who's condemned from the pulpit and studied in the closet, because most theologians are dishonest, they want your money. He said this. He said, the Bible was not given so that we can interpret it. The Bible was given so that God can interpret himself and his ways to us. So let's not try to imagine God. Stop imagining. Stop using your imagination when it comes to God. You can only know God through what he's revealed about himself. And so we need to be very careful. And the same is true of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot make stuff up about him. And in other words, we can't put down in doctrinal statements that he's begotten, not made, which is the stupidest term you can come up with if you study the scriptures. And all these other high-sounding phrases that if the people who wrote these doctrinal statements had the power of government, they would kill you if you did not believe it. And so we need to be careful. Now, let's talk about truth. We talked about God, now let's talk about truth. Through the ages, the one avowed quest of the philosophers was truth. That was true of Plato and Aristotle, and still is the quest of philosophers today. But philosophy is mentioned only once in the Bible, and there it is declared to be vain and deceitful. All the paths followed by the philosophers have ended in a maze of frozen, abstract ideas. If they had found truth, they would have found God, for God in the absolute is truth. I think one of the great, if you ever study history like I have, a lot of the founders and early believers in our country, they had a name for God. They called him the Great Providence, and they talked about natural law. And that is a way of mixing paganism with a little bit of Christianity. And so we cannot ignore God. If you found truth, you find God, not providence. If you found truth, you'd find God, not natural law or anything else. For God in the scripture is the absolute truth. One simple sentence from the lips of the Lord Jesus when here on earth forever ended the quest for truth. When he said this in John 14, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Yeah, that's John 14. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And the Lord Jesus also declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is just another way of saying that I am the true and living way. That's what our Lord is saying. Now the Apostle Paul, in speaking of the heathen in darkness, said that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. That's a quote from the book of Acts, by the way. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they feel after him and find him. Now this word feel was used by our Lord when he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself, handle me and see. The word handle and feel are the same word. The apostles were indeed fortunate that the very thing which the philosophers were seeking in the cold abstract, the apostles heard, saw, and even handled. What a shock it would have been to the philosophers if somebody had told them this. Can you imagine telling Plato that can you imagine if John the apostle walked up to Plato and said, hey bud, I know that you're looking for this truth. I saw him, I handled him, and I felt him. And truth is a person. Christ is the expression of God to us. Outside of him, there is no truth. I'm going to repeat that again. Christ is the expression of God to us. Outside of him, there is no truth. Now, the antithesis of truth in Christ is Satan and the lie. There is no truth in Satan. God, because of his very nature, cannot lie. He is truth and all truth. To us has been manifested the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Not all confess and recognize that truth today, but the time is coming when every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let his name be exalted above every name, and that's the name of Christ. And so we talked a little bit today about God and truth. God can only be known through his revelation. And God is truth. And I want to just point out a few things in the Gospel of John, which is very important. And if you're not a believer and you're listening to this program, a lot of this stuff may sound silly to you. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to shut this program off and go somewhere and find a Bible and read the Gospel of John and ask God to reveal himself to you. And so if you're an unbeliever, a lot of things I might say on this program might not be important to you. So I want you to go and read John, because you have to start there. Now, first of all, in the Gospel of John, we read something about the Lord Jesus. Now, John 14:6, as we quoted, and I'm going to turn there in my Bible, John 14:6. And you hear me flipping here. John 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So he says, "I am the truth." And yet in John 17, verse 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we see the Lord Jesus is the truth, and the word is the truth. Both are the truth. And how can that possibly be? How can the Lord Jesus be the truth and the Word of God at the same time be the truth? Because we read this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Lord Jesus is called the Word, and as the Word, he's the truth, the living and the written Word. There's a poem that goes like this, "The Scriptures and the Word bear one tremendous name. The living and the written Word in all things are the same." Let me repeat that. "The Scriptures and the Word bear one tremendous name, the living and the written Word in all things the same." In all things the same. "The Word preached makes known the written Word. The Word written makes known Christ, the living Word. Christ makes known God our Father." Did you hear that? This is important. "The Word preached makes known the written Word. The Word written makes known Christ, the living Word. And Christ makes known God our Father." And so this is a great thing. The Lord Jesus also said, "I am the resurrection and the life," in John 11:25. And also in John 6:63, the Lord Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Lord Jesus is the life, and the words of God are life. Now, in John 26 and 27, the Lord Jesus is going to judge. In John 12:48, it's the words that he spoke that will judge. So the Word of God and the Lord Jesus are the judge. In John 17, the Lord Jesus says, "I sanctify them." And I'm going to turn there before I misquote this one. John 17, he says that he sanctifies and the Word sanctifies. We can go on. I'm running out of time here. You can do more of the parallels yourself. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address, crossandthrone.com. Our number, 847-312-4676. This program is brought to you by those who believe this truth and want to support it and see this go out on the airwaves. If you believe this and you want to help us with the cost of the radio, please consider so and give us a call. Until next time, remember this. The closer you draw near to Christ as he is revealed in the Word, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.